Count Olaf had appeared, seemingly out of nowhere, and his shiny eyes glared at the children meaningfully. In one hand, Violet and Klaus could see, he held a walkie-talkie.
"Just that we appreciate all you've done for us, Mr. Poe," Klaus said weakly. "That's all we wanted to say."
"Of course. Of course," Mr. Poe said, patting him on the back. "Well, Polly and I had better take our seats. Break a leg, Baudelaires."
"I wish we could break a leg," Klaus whispered to Violet,
and Mr. Poe left.
"You will soon enough," Count Olaf said, pushing the two children toward the stage.
Other actors were milling about, finding their places for Act Three, and Justice Strauss was off in a corner practicing her lines from her law book. Klaus took a look around the stage, wondering if anyone there could help. The bald man with the long nose took Klaus's hand and led him to one side.
"You and I will stand here for the duration of the act. That means the whole thing."
"I know what the word duration means," Klaus said.
"No nonsense," the bald man said.
Klaus watched his sister in her wedding gown take her place next to Count Olaf as the curtain rose. Klaus heard applause from the audience as Act Three of The Marvelous Marriage began. It will be of no interest to you if I describe the action of this insipid — the word insipid here means dull and foolish — play by Al Funcoot, because it was a dreadful play and of no real importance to our story. Various actors and actresses performed very dull dialogue and moved around the set as Klaus tried to make eye contact with them and see if they would help. He soon realized that this play must have been chosen merely as an excuse for Olaf's evil plan and not for its entertainment value, as he sensed the audience losing interest and moving around in their seats. Klaus turned his attention to the audience to see whether any of them would notice that something was afoot, but the way the warped-faced man had arranged the lights prevented Klaus from seeing the faces in the auditorium, and he could only make out the dim outlines of the people in the audience. Count Olaf had a great number of very long speeches, which he performed with elaborate gestures and facial expressions. No one seemed to notice that he held a walkie-talkie the entire time. Finally, Justice Strauss began speaking, and Klaus saw that she was reading directly from the legal book. Her eyes were sparkling, and her face flushed, as she performed on stage for the first time, too stage-struck to realize she was a part of Olaf's plan. She spoke on and on about Olaf and Violet caring for each other in sickness and in health, in good times and bad, and all of those things that are said to many people who decide for one reason or another to get married. When she finished her speech, Justice Strauss turned to Count Olaf and asked, "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?"
"I do," Count Olaf said, smiling.
Klaus saw Violet shudder.
"Do you," Justice Strauss said, turning to Violet, "take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?"
"I do," Violet said.
Klaus clenched his fists. His sister had said, "I do," in the presence of a judge. Once she signed the official document, the wedding was legally valid. And now Klaus could see that Justice Strauss was taking the document from one of the other actors and holding it out to Violet to sign.
"Don't move an inch," the bald man muttered to Klaus.
And Klaus thought of poor Sunny, dangling at the top of the tower, and stood still as he watched Violet take a long quill pen from Count Olaf. Violet's eyes were wide as she looked down at the document, and her face was pale, and her left hand was trembling as she signed her name.